But if Jesus is never born, he can never die. And if Jesus never dies, then he can never resurrect from the dead. And if Jesus doesn't resurrect from the dead, the deal's off. 1 Corinthians 15. Amen? So turn with me this morning to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. I appreciate the Sunday school message, Brother Brad. The preparation. Amen? The preparation. Of the gospel. Amen? Going all the way back in history. All the way back in history. And you've heard these stories, the story of the three trees, right? One tree was used to make a manger. One tree was used to make a boat. One tree was... You've heard all these before. Those trees didn't just pop into existence. No, God had actually ordained those trees to be in those places, to be chopped down for those purposes before any of this, anybody had any clue what was going to happen. Amen? And Pastor, the program, you can call it the program of God. Amen? The program of God, the New Testament church, the program of God. Okay, and you can talk about the Old Testament and Israel, but I'm not talking about that right now. I'm talking about us. Amen. Amen? I'm talking about us. I'm talking about the church age, the New Testament saints. Here we are. Amen? Why are we here? Right. Well, Revelation chapter 4 says we are created for his pleasure. That's why. So you say to yourself, when God looks at my life, does he have pleasure? And if your answer is yes, then you're doing it right. Amen. Amen? And if your answer is no, then maybe you can think of something that you could tweak a little bit. Amen? And there's nothing that pleases Jesus Christ more than to see souls saved. There's nothing that pleases him more than to see souls saved. That's why he came into the world. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. And so that's where we are. We was lost, but now we're found. We were blind, but now we see. And so now, as New Testament saints, we have that responsibility of taking this gospel out to a lost and dying world before time runs out. Amen. And if you look around, amen. Right. Amen. All right, so here we are. And so I'm going to preach a message this afternoon that I've tentatively entitled, A Spoiled Brat Christmas. A Spoiled Brat Christmas. I'll try to explain that as we go along. Amen. Here we are in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. And when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Now we're talking about the kingdom of God, that spiritual kingdom. Jesus reigns in our hearts. Amen. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I'm glad I'm here today. I have been seriously in need of some good Christian fellowship, and you have blessed me beyond measure. And I thank you for this church in particular, Lord, the grace and the just how at home we feel here, how welcome. And Father, we just pray you'll bless this message, Lord, as it goes out. Use me, Lord. Help me to say something that's going to make some sense of all this. That's going to make this passage and the whole plan of salvation to become that clear to all of us that we'll be able to better present it to those people that ask us a reason of the hope that is within us. And Father, we love you. We thank you for dying for us, to making us saved. Not through works of righteousness which we have done, but by your own blood that you shed, the death that you paid in our place, the blood that you shed to take over our sins, and the grace and the mercy, Lord, that has saved us through our faith. And Lord, we love you. We thank you. Use us, I pray. And as we go forward into 2020, help us to have that clear, clear vision, to see souls for what they are, to see your word for what it is, and to see ourselves, Lord, and our part in your program for what it is. We love you, and we thank you for saving us. Use us, I pray, today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm glad I'm saved today. I love that doctrine, amen. I was saved last time I was here, and I'm still saved, amen. You know what? I'm going to come back. Next time I come back, I'm still going to be saved. I like that, don't you? You know, we're the only people in the world that can say that.
Right.
We have something to share, amen. And in this passage, there's an interesting picture. These little children want to get to Jesus. You know, they brought young children to him, the parents, the people that recognized that Jesus had something these kids needed. Amen. Why do we have Bible school every summer? Because there are people in this church that know that Jesus has something these little kids need. Amen? So we all week we beat ourselves to death, adults. Help me by Friday. Amen. Right? And for some reason, his disciples rebuke those that brought them. They have what I like to call the send them away ministry. I don't know why the people that were closest to Jesus, his own disciples, they're in the send them away ministry. You know, the send them away ministry, like the woman with the daughter from Samaria, she's the wrong race, and all these hungry people, and children want to see Jesus. Send them away ministry. It's a scary thing. But that's not how Jesus responded. Jesus, not only did he rebuke them for being that way, and I'm glad, I haven't seen anybody in this church that's that way.
Amen.
I'm happy about that. That makes me excited. That makes me excited. Amen. They want the kids to come to Jesus. They bring the kids to come to Jesus. They go in a white van and drive all over town to pick up kids to bring them to Jesus. Amen. But Jesus rebukes them, and then he's like, get over here, kids. And then he says this, he says, hey, except you come to me like one of these kids, you aren't coming. And there's a very interesting doctrinal truth there that a lot of people don't get. Salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And sewn through the fabric of the Word of God is a series of pictures that actually reinforce that truth for us to see, if we'll open our eyes to it. Amen? And so I wanted to talk to you about that. I have a whole outline here of what I thought I was going to say. But I think we need to get back to the simplicity of the gospel. A child can get saved. Even a little child can get saved. If they've got the Roman road, you got the four spiritual laws. I like John 3:16. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. This is how we sign perish. But have everlasting life. Amen? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And then he says this, he that believeth in him is not condemned. He that believeth in him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. So there's a line of division, and the Bible likes to do that. Amen. There's a line of division, and that really appeals to me as a sign language guy. Because as a sign language guy, I can preach it real easy. Amen. I'm going to put the good guys on this side. I'm going to put the bad guys on that side. You think I should switch it?
Yes.
So we'll put the good guys on that side and the bad. I don't know. Now you have me in a quandary. I don't know what to do. I'm going to put the good guys on this side. Put the bad guys on that side. Just for today. And I want you to flip with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. While you're flipping to Deuteronomy, hear that, by the way? You hear it? What is that? That's my favorite sound in the whole world. You know what that is? It's the sound of God's people looking for truth. I like that sound. You got to learn to appreciate those little things. Amen? Because if you don't, some of these big things will eat you up. Amen. Here's what happens. You know Revelation where he's talking to that church, the church that makes him sick. He said, I'm going to spew you out. He said, you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. But you think you have need of nothing. See, that's the problem with these people over here. They think they have need of nothing. Amen? But these people over here, these are the people that say, man, I need God. Amen? There's a warning. We're in Deuteronomy now, chapter 8. I've got a few illustrations of this truth. And then I'm going to tell a story, and then we're going to go play chess. Starting in verse 6. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. Who brings them? The Lord brings them, right? For a land of brooks and water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey. A land where thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, that thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Now look at verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, that thou And all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee there in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and then he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end, at thy latter end. And here's the key verse. Look at verse 17. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. How dare they come to that conclusion? How dare they come to that conclusion when they were in Egypt, which is a picture of what? It's a picture of the world, right? And if you want to get saved and you're lost in the world and you need to get saved out of the world, you need what? You need blood. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The Passover, that's how you get out of Egypt. Not by works of righteousness, which you've done. You got to get the blood on the doorpost. Right. And you got to get in the house. Amen. Not because you're a mighty, holy kind of thing. Right? Miss Thang and all her church activity can't get her into heaven.
Right.
Amen. Right. That's for sure. Right? You know what she needs? She needs to do it God's way.
Right.
But the problem is, they get to the point where they've been following God for so long, they begin to think that they got it together. Man, boy, God sure is lucky I signed up on this team. Amen, right? Got to be careful about that. How about these people over here? Oh, thank you, Lord, for that lamb we had to get in there. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that. Oh, man, when he hit that rock and that water came out, I drank till I was soaking wet. Amen. This white, weird white stuff. Do you know you can cook this 17 different ways? Amen. Read Numbers chapter 11, man. It's like taters. Potatoes up here. It's like taters, amen. I mean, you can mash them, you can shred them, you can bake them, you can chop them, amen. You can eat them raw, amen. Just like taters. I heard one preacher in Ohio, he said there were white castles. Because they were talking about the leeks and the garlic and the onions. I don't know about White Castle. White Castle's a little different. You know what White Castle's like? White Castle's like that little book that the guy ate in Revelation. He eats it and it's sweet as honey.
Yeah, it's bitter.
And then later on, it's like, ooh. Man, I love you, White Castle. Mm-hmm. About 20 minutes. Amen. And I'm going to leave that illustration alone because y'all are right with me there. Amen? But here's the thing. Look at verse 17 again. And thou shalt say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand. That's the whole problem. That's the whole problem. These disciples were saying, don't waste your time with these kids. Look at all these, you know, spiritual people. You know, these are just kids. Hang on. Except a man come to me as a little child, he cannot receive the kingdom of God. You got to come to him with nothing. Right? That's how you come to Christ, with nothing. What do we say? Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Right? All right, turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. This illustration is pretty well known. My boy said they were talking about that this morning. Genesis chapter 4. See, this is the self-sufficient side. This is the Christ is all I need side. Amen? Amen. Choose your side. I just drew the line. Amen? Y'all sit where you want, but I drew the line. I don't know. Actually, I didn't even draw the line. God drew the line. Huh? See, here's what it says. And in the process of time, it came to pass, verse 3, starting there, that Cain brought forth the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and unto his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? You know what that is? Faith and religion. It's the first dinner on the grounds in history. Amen? Abel brought the meat. Cain brought the salad. And God did not want salad. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. I mean, I come from the where's the beef generation. Right? It's not a meal if you don't have meat. I mean, you might sneak in a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on me once in a while if I'm feeling froggy. But man, you know, amen. Want some meat. Amen. Well, here's, and that's not even the problem. We understand that Cain was a farmer. Farmers are hardworking people. I have an enormous amount of respect for the workers that work on farms and ranches and animals. I get it. I do. But I tell you what, your little hard work, sweating on your brow and doing the best you can is not going to get you to heaven.
Right.
And that's what he was thinking. Hey, God, look at this cantaloupe. I grew it for you. Did you? Where'd the rain come from, Jack? Where'd the seed come from, Jack? And here's Abel. Thanks for the baby lambs. Because I know that I can't get baby lambs without you. And it says he brought the firstlings of his flock. All Cain had to do to get his high section into heaven, it's a strange word, isn't it? Was to say, Abel, my salad ain't cutting it. Could you give me a couple of lamb chops? If you don't mind. That's how we sign that, if you don't mind. No skin off my nose, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. You know what? I think Abel would have said yes. You know why? Because he knew where the lambs came from in the first place. See? Self-sufficiency doesn't get the job done. Faith and dependence on God is what gets the job done. Amen? Let's look at another one. Jonah, chapter 1. Now, I've been teaching through Jonah, and I saw this for the first time. I've read the book of Jonah many times. Of course, I have a son named Jonah. He's a whale of a kid. You didn't take long to get that one. I told you the story about why I named him Jonah, didn't I? When we moved to Tennessee, when I was in Ohio, they called me Adam Wells. Then we moved to Tennessee, they started calling me Adam Wales. So I had to name my kid Jonah. I didn't have a choice, really. Jonah Wales. Where is he, anyway? He's over there pretending he can't hear me. Okay. Amen. So you know the story of Jonah. God tells Jonah, preach to Nineveh. And Jonah says, no. And he takes off, right? So he ends up in the belly of this fish. And he's swimming around in this fish, you know. But before that happens, something funny happens. There's a big storm on the boat. He's trying to run away, and there's a big storm on the boat. And the guys are getting really frustrated and scared. Now, you know what? Storms make you frustrated, and storms make you scared. That's true. That's true. And look at verse 5. We'll start in verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. By the way, do you know there's only one prophet in the Bible that Jesus compared himself to? Jonah. Jesus said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There'll be no sign given it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And here we have a story where there's a storm and there's a guy in a boat who's asleep. I can think of a story like that. And the storm did stop. And they didn't all die. It's interesting, isn't it? So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us and we perish not. So they go and they do this and all this doesn't work and they're praying to everything but the right God. And then they finally figure out it's actually Jonah's fault. And look at verse 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. Okay? They've got the right program now. Amen? I'm in a mess. I'm in a storm. I'm going down. I need some help. And this guy knows who God is. I'm going to ask him. Okay? In your life, people are going to ask you the same kind of things. When they get to that point, and sometimes it takes a desperate situation before they'll get saved. But when they get to that point, they're going to find someone who knows the real God, and they're going to ask them, are you ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear? 1 Peter 3:15. Are you ready? When the question comes, you have the answer? That's important, because you never know when it's going to happen. Okay? Jonah, the last thing he thought was he's going to be talking shop in the Word of God with anybody. But now here he is, and they say, hey, dude, what do we need to do to take care of this problem? And here's what he says. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. You know what you got to do? If you sacrifice one, you can all be saved. I'm going to say that again because I like it. Amen? If you sacrifice one, you can all be saved. That's good stuff, isn't it? Nevertheless, verse 13. What's 13 the number of? 13, rebellion. Nevertheless, the men rode hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. In other words, I'm not going to do what the guy that knows God said. I'm going to fix myself. I'm going to do this harder. And if I do this harder, maybe we'll get the land before we die. That's religion. I'm going to say my rosaries, and I'm going to eat my crackers, and I'm going to get myself sprinkled, and I'm going to have the priest pray for me, and I'm going to... You go straight to hell doing that. Amen? And your arms will be tired. Or, amen, you could just do what the guy who knows God said. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord. And I like what they say here. We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. Hang on. If you drown in the ocean, do you bleed? And was Jonah innocent? It's almost like they were kind of referring to somebody else. In a sense. Now, I can think of somebody that was innocent, that bled, that was sacrificed as an individual to save many. Interesting stuff, isn't it? I love it. It's great stuff. We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Okay. One person died, and they all got saved. I just saw this. I've read Jonah. I don't know how many times I've read Jonah. It's only 48 verses. I could probably preach this. I'll probably teach through Jonah for about 3 months. 48 verses. It's a lot of stuff there. I'm not going to talk about the other story for time's sake. You know the Pharisee and the publican. Do you know the Pharisee and the publican? Here's the Pharisee. Wait a minute. He's a wicked, evil man. Shouldn't he be on that side? No. You know why? Because he comes to God with nothing. He knows where he's headed. He couldn't even look to heaven. He was so ashamed of who he was. You know who he was? Me. Amen. He was me. The Bible says he smote his breast. You know what the sign is for conviction? That's a sign for conviction. The Bible says he smote his breast. Publican, I'm glad I'm not as this man is. Mm-mm-mm. You got to come to God his way. You got to come to him like a child, and you got to come to him with nothing. And here's what he'll do if you do that. Okay? I like what he does. And he took them in his took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them, and blessed them. That's what Jesus wants to do. A few weeks ago, 2 months ago now, our choir was singing at church, not a mile. It's probably not even a mile from our home. Rocky Top, Tennessee. The choir's up there singing Christmas. And I'd been talking to Noah for a little while about, he just wasn't sure he was saved, he said. He didn't feel saved, he said. And I had a problem because now, you know, I want him to believe the Word of God. You understand, when you get saved, really what you're doing is you're betting your soul on a book. Right? And if that book is wrong, you're done. Right? And so I don't want to undo the promises that God has made to anybody that's a believer. Amen? And I don't talk people out of their salvation. I don't do that. A lot of people do. You're not really saved because you don't wear these clothes. You're not really saved because you do this. But he kept coming to me and he kept asking about it. You know why? We thought he was saved. And anyway, so the choir's done. We just got done singing that song, Search the Book Again. Where we throw Karen in hell. He threw her. And I was just glad I was saved. You know, whenever I see that song, I'm like, hey, that was me. And I come to the altar, I'm just thanking God. And I felt this little nudge as I'm kneeling at the altar, thanking God that I had nothing to offer him, but he had everything to offer me. And I felt this little nudge. And I turned over, and there's this drip falls in the on the altar right there. He said, Dad, I don't think I'm saved. What are you telling? Boy, I'm glad I knew how to explain that. Amen? See, he knew when the storm was raging in his soul, he knew there was a guy who knew God that he could ask. And he came, and he asked. Amen? And you know what? He hasn't been perfect since. He hasn't been perfect since then. But the storm isn't raging. And I like that. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. A little child came to Jesus that day. He didn't really come to Daddy. He came to Jesus that day. Why do we make it so hard? What is wrong with us? Amen? We make it so hard. You know, we live in a world of people going like this. Come on over here. Why is it so hard? It tears me up. I spent 3 days with my in-laws. They had all their crackers and they did all their stuff they're supposed to do at Christmas time. And then Sunday they'll be back doing what they're supposed to do on Sunday. And this tears me up. God help us not to ever do anything that's going to get in the way of bringing those people over here to show them that this doesn't get the job done. Amen? And when those little children come to Jesus, we better not dare stand in the way. Amen? Amen. So as you go forward in the 2020, think about that. Think about that. Amen? Father, we love you. Thank you for salvation, full and free, by faith.